And it is started. So I'm now opening up my Kindle. And in my Kindle, we are on page 155. We're actually in Luke chapter 13, and we're going to begin with verses 10 to 17. Is that 155 for you all, or a different page?
156.
156 in the paper book. Okay. Verses 10 to 17. Your confusion comes from the binding ways of your own thinking until now. It is your thoughts that have made you suffer. And so, if you would choose freedom, you must also choose freedom from your thoughts. This is why I have come. I am here to teach you to lay down your thoughts, to loosen yourself from your bindings, and to straighten up and walk in joy and gratitude instead. And, Lynn was talking just a little bit before I started the recorder, but she started talking about how she is more intensely beginning to look at her thoughts than she was before. And I'm really happy about that. And one reason I'm really happy about that is because, again, that's the work that I do, and so I know how rewarding that is, and I know how much that's changing, how that changes everything when we start really looking at our thoughts. I also feel, based on my discussions with, a lot of people, that this is what most people actually don't do. We read spiritual books, whatever else we do, we might meditate a little bit. It's wonderful to meditate. I think it's great that people can sit and meditate. Some people meditate for an hour, 2 hours every morning. But many people get up and walk away from meditation and go right back to their habitual thinking. And at least the way I appear to be awakening, and the teaching that comes through A Course in Miracles and NTI, it's all about abandoning your habitual way of thinking. So, again, the purpose of the spiritual time, you could say, isn't just to feel good. It's to really look at the way you're thinking, to inquire into, investigate into the way you're thinking, and start to notice how the way you think is actually the cause of your suffering. To truly see that. Nobody's actually asking you to take this on faith or belief. Holy Spirit says if you look, you will see. Your thoughts are what cause your suffering. The only reason you suffered is because of that thinking. And if you can start to see that, then you start to get very motivated in changing the way you think. But the average person, it's really funny because it's total blindness. The average person believes their thinking makes them happy. And it's really not only blindness, Jesus calls it insanity. The word I was going to use is it's a idiot. It's, is there an idiot that ends with Y? Idiocy.
Idiotic.
Idiocy. It's absolute idiocy. Boy, that's hard to say. But that's exactly what it is. And when you start to really look, you'll see if you don't see that already. It could be as simple as, like one common desire that lots of women have who aren't in a relationship. They want a man. Not all women, but a lot of women do. They want a man. But if they pay real close attention to themselves, the whole time they're wanting a man, the whole time they're trying to get a man, the whole time they're trying to find a man that likes them, are they happy? No. And yet why are they doing it? Because they think that's what makes them happy. It's like just not seeing what's right there. And yet they spend so much time and energy being unhappy, thinking that's the means to happiness. And we do that with so many things. And so really what's happening here is that Holy Spirit is telling us that directly right now. He's saying it is your thoughts that have made you suffer. That's the cause of your suffering. And so, if you would choose freedom, you must also choose freedom from your thoughts. You cannot keep your current way of thinking and be happy too. You have to choose which one do you want. And it reminds me of that course line, would you rather be right or happy? So that's what he's really saying here. If we go on to verses 18 to 21, how does one come to know the peace and joy of God I tell you that it is not through the worry and effort of your old ways. Sit down and relax with me. One comes to know the peace and joy of God by listening to me. As a small child who is eager to learn listens to a parent. And then, just as that child does, by trying everything the parent asks it to try. But if you watch a child when it is learning something new, you will notice that the learning itself does not seem to come from the child's effort. The practice is but an expression of the child's willingness to learn. The learning itself seems to come upon the child like a miracle, and suddenly the small child can do what it could not do before. This is how it is with you. Listen and practice as an expression of your willingness, but do not expect results from your listening and your practice. Expect results from the expression of your willingness. So when I was writing this, kind of the mental image that was in my mind was of a young child, maybe 3 years old, maybe four, you know, very young child, learning to tie its shoe. And the parent was telling it how to, you know, make a bow and, you know, wrap the other thing around it and pull and, you know, all of that. And the kid just didn't have the motor skills. And so no matter how hard the kid tried, you know, the kid couldn't do it. You know, just the fingers didn't work right. And then, all of a sudden, boom, it happened. You know, there wasn't necessarily a gradual improvement. It just happened. And, you know, of course, the kid was so happy. And so what Spirit is saying is it wasn't really the child's efforts that did it. It was more the willingness that somehow allowed the miracle to happen where the child suddenly had the motor skills and the ability to do it. You know, you could call it a natural maturing that happened through willingness. And Spirit is saying that this is the way it is with us. And I got to be honest with you, this is my experience too. Because I always have practiced in the way Spirit asks me to. Whatever my current practice is, it's something I'm doing. And yet, it never quite feels like when the miracle happens, it never really feels like I did that. Like, it never really feels like the miracle actually came from the effort. It's just I was doing the practice, and then the way I see changed, or the way I felt changed, or the way I reacted changed, and that seems like a miracle. Now, the good news in this is that that means that you, even though you're being asked to practice, and you're being asked to do whatever Spirit asks you to do, it's not like a test that you have to get right. You see, if the miracle was truly coming from your effort, then that would mean you had to do it somehow exactly right, and you could not do it exactly right, and then you would never get the reward. But because that's not actually the cause of the miracle, then that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to get it exactly right. You just do your best. You just follow your heart. This is your willingness that's being expressed through your practice. And through the expression of your willingness, you could really say what's happening is you are inviting grace. You are consistently inviting grace. And practice, even though it doesn't come through your effort, practice is not nothing. You could look at it this way. When something happens, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to react to it the way you always have, or you're going to practice, right? And if you react to it the way you always have, what you're really saying is, I want to keep my thought system. I want to keep the way I think. And if you're saying that, then you're saying, grace, I don't want you, right? It's like you're closing the door to grace. You're closing the door to the miracle. By choosing not to react in the way you always have, and by choosing to practice in whatever way Spirit is teaching you to practice, you're saying the opposite. You're saying, you know what? I don't want to keep my old thought system. I am willing to see differently. I'm willing to be wrong about the way I've always thought. And you're inviting grace in. So rather than thinking that your practice is the effort that you have to get right in order to change, which is actually a mistake, it's much more helpful to see my practice is an invitation to grace, where my choice not to practice is saying, I'm not ready, I want to stay the same. And that's what's going on. And if you look at it that way, then you'll see that there isn't a practice that you have to get. It's not like a test you have to pass, right? You're just consistently sending the invitation by choosing to consistently, or as consistently as possible, not follow your old thought system, not react in the way you've always reacted before. Okay, so let's look at verses 22 to 30. There are many distractions that come to keep your mind from me. Remember that distractions are temptations put forth by your resistance, and resist the distraction instead. I have said before that it is not important what you do, but why you do it. This is an invitation to do all things for me. If each distraction can become an opportunity to hear my voice, you are doing well on the path to healing. The door to the kingdom of heaven is not narrow. The door is open to all, and all shall enter in their time. But to pass through the door, one must pass by distractions. You do well not to be delayed long on your way. Make me your only purpose in all things. So earlier in Luke, there was a paragraph that we read that gave us several examples of distractions. One of the distractions that's occurring to me right now is problems to solve, right? Another distraction was things you have to do in order to appear worthy to others. You know, I got to get this done or people are going to think I'm a loser, you know. And, you know, when we fall for believing those things, we fall for believing I have to worry about this, I have to solve this problem, or we fall for believing I have to do this or other people won't see me as worthy, what we're really falling for is our old thought system. You see, we're just kind of falling into a habitual pattern of thinking the way we've always thought. So Spirit is saying here, when you catch yourself doing that, try something different. Try saying, this is an opportunity for me to listen to Spirit's voice now. You know, I've always solved my problems in the past through worrying or through control and manipulation or through whatever. So, but that is my old way. And what I'm going to do now is instead try to hear Spirit's voice. And it's funny because we talk about hearing Spirit's voice, but most people, including me, don't actually hear a voice. That's just a symbol. So I want to make that clear. We're not really, in most cases, talking about hearing a voice. It does happen, but that's rare rather than common. We're really talking about getting in touch with your intuitive guidance as to what to do now. And I want to say that again very slowly. Your intuitive guidance about what to do now. Because often what people want is the answer about what they're supposed to do 2 weeks from now. Or a month from now. Or, you know, July 31st when my lease is up. Or, you know, something like that. And in guidance is always about what to do now. In fact, today I made a post about this. Some of you may have seen it. I went to Boston this weekend, and when I talked to people, one of the primary things they were asking me about was how to hear guidance. The vast majority of the people there still felt they didn't hear guidance. And after listening to them all day, I realized maybe it would be helpful if just occasionally I just post an example of the type of guidance I hear, because I think that maybe people are almost expecting, if you'll forgive me, too much out of guidance. And if they saw how small and simple guidance was, maybe they'll start realizing, you know, I do hear guidance all the time. I just didn't know that was guidance, you know? So the example I gave today was on Sunday. I was just playing around on the internet looking at things around Israel, because we're going to Israel soon. And I came across this website called JesusTrail.com. And it's about a hike similar to the Camino in Europe, except it's in Israel, and it's only about 4 days long. And it's a walk from Capernaum. It's a walk from Nazareth to Capernaum. And there is a scripture in Matthew that says Jesus walked from Nazareth to Capernaum. So although, you know, you're not certain you're really walking in exactly the same footsteps as him, you're at least doing a similar walk, right? as soon as I found out about this walk, my heart started beating. It's like I totally knew I wanted to do this. I could, you know, really, really feel it. But that wasn't guidance. You see, that was just what happened. I'm playing around on the internet. I ran across this website. I totally knew I wanted to do it. When I checked in for guidance, am I to do this? The guidance came right now as just a wait. You know, it was kind of like, you know, I could feel like go ahead and look into it, but take it slow. Watch what unfolds. Wait. It wasn't even a yes or a no. Now, some people would misinterpret that as I don't have guidance. But you do have guidance. The guidance is wait. The guidance is do nothing right now. The guidance is watch and let's see what happens. Take it slow. You know? So it's really learning how to tune into that, what am I to do now? If I was thinking that guidance was supposed to tell me whether I was doing the Jesus Trail or not, when I was doing it, how I was to do it, who was going with me, I could be sitting here frantic saying, I don't have any guidance about this. Totally missing the guidance that is present, which is a simple wait. And in fact, one of the things I told people in Boston is one of the most common guidances I get is wait. I also get yeses and nos, relax, be quiet, listen, say nothing, have no opinion, accept this, all is well. These are the most common guidances I get. And you know, lesson 49 in A Course in Miracles says, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. And if you start listening for those kinds of prompts, you will realize it's always, always there. It's always there. It's telling you what to do in every moment. It's just we want it to tell us whether we're going on the Jesus Trail or not. Right? That's the problem. We want it to tell us where we're moving, what job we're going to take next, whether we should stay in this relationship or not. When it's just telling us what to do right this second.
Always not wanting to live in the now. Huh?
Yeah, we want to always not live in the now. Yeah. So my opinion is, of course, I know I'm only speaking from my experience, but my opinion is listening to guidance is actually quite simple if you reel it way back from all of these expectations and desires you have of what you want guidance to look like and sound like. You know, I think often, you know, we do have the intuitive knowing of right to do right this second. I mean, I think we know when to shut up, right? I mean, it's not judgmental. It's just listen. Stop talking. And how many of us have heard stop talking and kept right on talking anyway? Yeah, we're pretty good ignoring guidance too. But it's not that we didn't know, you know? So what Spirit is saying is that these distractions, these problems to think about, these, you know, all of these things that happen, instead of just running with our old thought system like we used to, instead take it as an opportunity to seek guidance. And that's a positive use of distractions. So a problem shows up, you ask, what am I to do now? And that doesn't necessarily mean, how am I going to solve this problem? That means, what am I to do now? It might be, breathe. That might be the immediate thing you hear. Breathe, right? That's what you are to do now, breathe. And then the next moment will come. And then the next moment will come.
And just know that you can't make a mistake.
Right.
No matter what it is, you're not, you may keep talking when Spirit tells you to quit talking, but you can't make a mistake. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Right, you're not guilty for continuing to talk.
Yeah. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
Everything is just as perfect as it can be.
Well, in fact, that's a guidance a friend wrote to me about this morning. She's trying to make a financial decision. And when she checked for guidance, what she got was, it's going to be okay. And, you know, and I just reaffirmed for her that was her guidance. Her guidance wasn't telling her which decision to make, or at least it wasn't at this point. It was basically telling her not to worry. It's going to be okay. You know, and that is her guidance, is to let go of her worry. So, and then of course this chapter ends with a very beautiful sentence. Your willingness is everything. Through your willingness, see all things anew. And from willingness is a complete openness to spirit. You know, that's willingness, is an openness to spirit, which also means, for lack of better words, it is a willingness to change. It's the opposite of insistence on how I've always been or how I've always thought, right? Because that would be closed to spirit. So it's like if there's some quote jerk in my life, willingness is being willing to accept that he may not be a jerk. That that's just the way I've seen him. That's just through the filter of my mind. And that if I surrender to spirit and take it one step at a time, one day I will see he is not a jerk. Right? But to continually insist he's absolutely a jerk, he did this and did this and did this and did this, that's not willingness. That's being closed. So it's even regardless of my experience. Willingness supersedes experience. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 14. And this is what we were just talking about. Now is a very important time. For now is the only time that you can take any action that will make any difference. In spite of its tendency to plan, even the ego understands the truth of the moment now, which is why the ego is always trying to distract you away from it. The ego is always trying to throw your mind into the future or into the past. The one thing the ego wants to avoid is now. And that's where spirit wants you, is right now, right? And when it says take any action, it doesn't necessarily mean action in the old form of the word, like doing something. The action may be breathing. The action may be choosing to let go of your insistence that this thought is true, right? But you can only do that now. That's the only time you can take any action that will make any difference at all, is in this present moment. Verses 7 to 11. Approach the current moment with humility, as if you do not know what the current moment is for. Approaching this moment with this attitude is only a demonstration of honesty, for you cannot know what is coming, or what you should do, or where you should go. By approaching this moment in honesty and humility, you open up to hear my guidance within this current moment. So probably the most common block to hearing guidance, if we aren't able to hear a guidance, is because we think we know. We think we know what the problem is. We think we know what acceptable solutions are, what unacceptable solutions are, you know. I may have told you guys this story, but I think it's one of the best stories I have to demonstrate this. I told you the story. I know I did, so I'll be very brief about it. I told you the story about the time I had the seeming stalker, right? And did I tell you about when he went on the peace of God and appeared to make a death threat to me? Do you guys know this story? Okay. So his words again on the peace of God, he had signed up for a conference that I was going to be speaking at. And he came onto the peace of God and he wrote that he had signed up for the conference and that he was coming. And then he wrote, just because you follow Holy Spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated. And not just me, many people interpreted that as a death threat. And people began to want to cancel out of the conference. One of the organizers of the conference wanted to call the police and get a restraining order, right? When I checked in for my guidance was ask him what he means by that. Now, to be honest, in that moment, it didn't appear to make any sense. Because the mind thought it knew what the problem was. This person had appeared to have made a death threat to me before. So this wasn't the first time. You know, it appeared this person might not be totally sane, had a crazy kind of sick thing for me, was disappointed because I would not enter into a romantic relationship. And really, it did appear that a death threat was being made. So asking what it means by that didn't make a lot of sense. But I chose to do it anyway. I'll be honest, that's just the way I am. So I chose to do it anyway. So I went onto the peace of God and I replied to his message and I asked, you know, I said, before we misunderstand, what do you mean by this? And he came back and explained. Now listen to his explanation very carefully. He believed in his mind that because I would not have sex with him, that meant I didn't love him. I was judging him, which meant I was a fake teacher. Like in his mind, love would have equated to sex. Because you can follow that. I mean, it's not true, but you can follow that thought process, right? So because I would not have sex with him, I was a fake, right? And he felt that his guidance, it was literally his duty to let the world know that I was a fake, to save the world from me. So his guidance in his mind was to walk into that conference. He felt that I would be so repelled by him, so disgusted by him when my eyes landed on him, that there would be some reaction. But that reaction, although he was willing to do it because it was his guidance to expose me as a fake, you know, and that reaction would show everybody that I was a fake, it was still going to hurt him so deeply that he would feel assassinated. So when he said, just because you follow spirit doesn't mean you won't be assassinated, he was talking about himself. It was not a death threat. So the point of the story is this. Guidance does not appear to make sense always, especially if the mind thinks it's already defined what's going on. It's already defined the problem. It's already defined what the possible solutions are. Sometimes the guidance may not appear to make sense. So one thing that we need to learn to do, if at all possible, is to approach the current moment with humility as if you do not know what the current moment is for. You do not know what the problem is. You do not know what the possible solutions are. Because if I had fully thought I understand this and I know what needs to be done, I probably would have been with that organizer who wanted to call the police and get a restraining order. That appeared to make sense under the circumstances, right? So, and of course in Miracles says something like this too, under the rules for decision. I don't remember the rules for decision exactly, but the idea is, it's in there, that we do not want to define the problem, right? I don't remember those words. I wish I could quote A Course in Miracles, you know, like an encyclopedia, but I can't. Yes, sir.
Jacqueline has a good name for the ego. She calls it the I know mind.
The I know mind, the ego. I already know, yeah. So this is coaching us against that I know mind. You know, you may think you know what the problem is. You may think you know what possible solutions are, but put that aside enough to ask. Go into humility. Say, I really don't know. Therefore, I really don't know what might be in my best interest or the best interest of everyone right now. And then ask. And I don't know about you guys, but I can feel when I truly get there. It may take a little bit of work. It may take a little bit of, in my case, journaling to dump out. First, I might have to look at what I do think the problem is. First, I might have to look at what I do think the answers are. And, you know, I may have to spend an hour or two in writing in order to put those thoughts sincerely aside. But when I put those thoughts sincerely aside, I know it's like I hit the heart or something. It's like, okay, I'm now ready. I now realize I don't know. And from this place of heart sincerity, I'm asking. And that's when guidance comes. It can't come until you're in that empty spot or that heart spot. As long as you think you know everything, you're actually blocking the guidance out.
And also, you can't predict the future.
No.
Ego thinks it can predict the future. You can't predict the future. You can only be now doing what you're doing here now. So how much of our time and energy just everything do we do thinking, you know, I'm going to have to move out of my house next month, and when I do, I'm going to have to figure out a place to go, or I'm going to, you know, have to get a job, and where am I going to go, and what am I going to do? I am not there.
Right.
I'm only here.
Right.
And here where I am, I can make a decision about what I'm going to do right now. And all that other stuff just takes care of itself, because that's what happens when you just let yourself be here now, here now, here now. Otherwise, you're not going to change anything by making all those plans. You're not going to change what's going to happen by making up ideas about what you think you want or what you think is going to happen. Nothing's going to change. The only thing that's going to change is how I feel about how I am right now and where I am right now. So asking for guidance, you know, Holy Spirit, tell me, you know, do I need to get a job? Do I need to try to find another house? None of that is necessary, because it will happen when it happens.
Yeah.
And all you're doing now is just making yourself sick.
That's right, making yourself sick right now. Yeah. All right, so let's look at 12 to 14. When you approach me within the current moment and share your prayers, do not pray about the problems you perceive within the world, expecting me to provide answers to you. So this is what we've been talking about, and now Spirit is being very clear. Instead, think about your reactions to the problems you have perceived. What thoughts did you notice in your mind? What judgments are you making? Think of prayer as an opportunity to empty your mind of guilt, fear, distractions, resistance, and judgment by bringing them to me. Think of prayer as an opportunity to renew your willingness and revitalize your faith. Then, when this has been done, and without specific expectations, ask me what you are to do. You will be rewarded with the guidance that is perfect for your healing in that moment. But know that my reward is not given because you have prayed as I have asked. It's not because you've done it right. Instead, because you have prayed as I asked, you have readied yourself to receive the reward I have been waiting to give. So in other words, you were blocking it before. You had to empty your mind of everything that was blocking it. And I told you, you know, this story a moment ago about this man who appeared to be threatening my life. When this apparent threat first came out, there was fear. And the fear that showed up in my mind was backed up by the thought Jasmine was actually going to this conference. And there was the thought that, you know, she would be in the room and he would come in and like shoot me, blow my head off or something, and she would see it. So this was there first. So the first thing that had to be done was that had to be removed. I didn't sit down in that fearful state and ask for guidance and receive this asking what he means. That's not the way it happened. First, I sat down and I looked at my fear. A realization came over me that I was imagining a story. I was projecting and imagining a situation in my mind, and that my imagination was causing the fear reaction. After that realization came, I gave my willingness to let go of my imagination. And then what happened was realizing I did not know what the future was going to be. I did not know what was going to happen. And then I came to a place of emptiness and openness, and that's where I asked for the guidance. So you see, there was time spent first letting go of what might have blocked the guidance, the obstacle, the believing I knew. And that's exactly what he's asking us to do here. He calls it prayer. In my case, that prayer does happen through journaling. You know, so if journaling is effective, you know, just because he's using the word prayer here doesn't mean you can't journal. It doesn't mean you have to be on your knees in a certain position, you know, whatever works. He's really talking about a focus with him of looking at your mind, right? And seeing what your present obstacles are, what's in your way of hearing guidance. And the clarity that comes when you sit down with that focus can be amazing. You know, it can be absolutely amazing, but it's a focused time. So he's saying, you know, don't think, you know, imagine if I had gone into this. Imagine if I had gone to this, Holy Spirit, this man's going to kill me. What should I do? I might have felt like I didn't hear anything. You know, what should I do? What should I do? And, you know, I'm not getting a response here. What should I do? This man is going to kill me. What should I do? So he's saying, don't come in with your problems and pray to me about your problems, expect me to tell you what to do. Don't even have that expectation. Instead, pray to me about your perception of the problem, your judgments, your reaction. Spirit, I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I'm imagining this. And then a clarity comes. I'm imagining. That's why I'm afraid. You see, the clarity starts to come. So you pray about your reactions. You pray about your perceptions and start from there. Get to that point of emptiness. Then ask for any guidance and you'll know what to do. And again, the guidance is a present moment. In that case, the conference was still 2 months away. It wasn't ask what to do in 2 months. It was ask what to do now. You know, go ask him what he meant by that. Ask him to explain. Right? So, how are we on time? I think it's actually time to stop. So we will stop right there. I think this is a good break. So we'll begin with 15 to 24 next time. What, you know, today has been primarily about asking for guidance, but there have been two main points today about asking for guidance. One is about realizing in the asking for guidance that you don't know anything. So clearing away any obstacles, any knowing you think you have about what the problem is, about what this means, about how this is to be solved, getting to that point of empty openness. The other thing about asking for guidance is to remember guidance comes about now, not 2 weeks from now, not a month from now, right? Not if this thing should happen. Guidance is about now. And what I'm going to do is go ahead and stop the recorder, and then we'll just go into a little bit of quiet time, and then we'll open it up for discussion.